If you've never seen Lake Michigan, it's not your average lake. Imagine standing at the ocean with water all the way to the horizon and a shoreline stretching as far as you can see in either direction. Lake Michigan can get as wild as the ocean, too. Over the last decade, an average of a dozen people a year have drowned in the dangerous waves and rip currents. A few years ago, a group of college students fought those waves for one intense 24-hour period.
So I climbed on the board, I stood up, fell in, climbed back on the board, fell back in, the paddleboard flipped over, and I remember just looking up. The waves are just, you couldn't see them at night, you could only hear them. So you just hear the next white cap starting to build to your right, and you knew it was about to hit you.
They were 3 to 5 feet consistently the whole time, and sometimes much higher than that. So there was a lot of falling off the board, a lot of getting soaked, losing track of the boat, so we had to stay focused and keep paddling as hard as we could.
Why were they in the middle of the lake in the middle of the night? We're about to hear the story on the Revive Our Hearts podcast for June 4th, 2019, with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of Surrender, The Heart God Controls. This month, we're exploring the topic of perseverance here on Revive Our Hearts. And to kick off this month-long focus, we're hearing from a family that knows a lot about perseverance. Today, we'll hear from Karen Melby and her daughter, Jenny. When Nancy recorded this interview, Jenny was only a few days removed from a major accomplishment. If you missed yesterday's program, you'll want to go back to reviveourhearts.com and pull it up. The transcript is available there, but better yet, listen to the audio because it's a great story. Now, let's listen as Nancy picks up the story with her longtime friends, Karen Melby and daughter Jenny.
Jenny, you were part of a trio, you and two of your friends from Maranatha Conference Center, where you spend summers, who earlier this week did an amazing feat of paddleboarding across Lake Michigan. So we told the first part of that story yesterday. We're going to pick up with that today. But first, just thank you so much both for being willing to come in and add to a full week sharing with us here at Revive Our Hearts.
Thank you, Nancy, thank for you. Having us.
And it's been a few days now since you got off the water, the high seas there of Lake Michigan. How you feeling, Jenny?
Yeah, I'm starting to feel a lot better. We got some rest. It's been a couple of days. We've been trying to do some shoulder rolling exercises and working on raising our arms above our heads. But we're feeling better. We're feeling physically more rejuvenated and kind of just in awe of what the Lord is doing through our story. We never could have imagined what would happen summer of 2013. The Lord is really using our story to bless others. He's blowing it up for His glory.
And which is what you wanted all along. That was the whole purpose of it. And this was not just a lark for those who didn't get to hear yesterday's program. The Lord put it on your heart, Jenny, to do this as a fundraiser. And tell us just about the organization that you were raising money for and why you did that.
We decided to raise money for the organization called Restore International by Bob Goff, because Bob had written a book called Love Does that had initially inspired us and kind of got this whole activity rolling. And Restore International works to get children in Uganda and also in India out of sex slavery. We decided to just do what we love, which is paddleboarding, and use it to bless others in Uganda.
And what an effort it was. I followed this on the internet. I followed it on Facebook. And there was a tracker that showed your progress from Milwaukee on the west side of Lake Michigan, where you put in, and then all the way 80 miles across Lake Michigan till you got back to Muskegon on the east side. And I went to bed thinking about you guys Sunday night. I woke up early in the morning, turned on that tracker, wanted to see where you were, and you were making great progress. You actually was a lot faster than what you expected.
Yeah, it was a lot faster than what we had expected. I think part of it was your contribution through your encouraging texts as we're on the boat at 5:30 in the morning sending Bible verses. So thank you for all of your encouragement, Nancy.
Well, you're welcome. And when you started out, you thought it was going to be, what, 30 hours?
We thought it would take us 30 hours, and it ended up taking us just under 24. So we made great time, which is surprising because it was a lot wavier and stormier than we had thought it would have been. So if it was calm, we would have gotten back in the middle of the night.
Well, it was so fun to watch and fun, easy for me to say fun, but you were doing the hard work, and we want to talk about what it was like out there. And just again, to set the scene, there was one paddleboard, and you and Craig and Trent would take turns, shifts, what turned out to be, what, about 30-minute
yeah.
shifts. One of you would be on the paddleboard. The other two would be in the boat mm-hmm. That was following along. And then Karen, mm-hmm. mom here, you were on the boat. We told yesterday how that happened.
And I was.
Your job
yes.
was?
To keep food in them and keep them hydrated and encourage them as much as I could.
And to pray.
And pray, yes, absolutely.
Praying mom.
I prayed a lot.
And then Craig and Trent's dad was on the boat.
That's right.
And a couple Al. Other relatives and captain. And so
the boys have an Uncle Rob who really sat... Actually, he was their unsung hero. He sat on the very back platform on the fiberglass as close to the kids as he possibly could to protect them. He was ready to dive in and, well, Jenny, what did he tell you?
He had told us that he would give his life for us. He said, if they're going in, I'm going in. If they fall in, I'm going in after them. And even if I don't make it out, they'll make it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, if you're going to paddleboard across Lake Michigan, you want a friend like that.
That's right.
And so you were really dependent on weather. For those who aren't from this part of the country, Lake Michigan is not a small lake. It's not something you toy with. We hear about deaths in Lake Michigan. We hear about drownings. And we talked yesterday, Karen, about how you had to work through some fears. But so much is dependent on the weather. And when you got started, you took off from Milwaukee. How was the weather at the beginning?
The weather... When we were driving over to Milwaukee initially, we had water that was like glass. It was as calm as could be, and we were cheering. We were so happy that we were going to have weather like this the next day for paddling. And when we started off on Sunday morning, it looked great. And as the day went on, it just kept getting wavier and wavier and wavier. And the current was pulling us north, and we just wanted to go east. So it seemed like it just kept getting more difficult, and it was cloudy and it was rainy. So actually one of my fears, my biggest concern probably in the weeks leading up to the journey was weather. If it was too wavy or too windy, it would be really hard, especially for me to paddle because I'm not as strong as the guys are. But I would start begging the Lord in our prayers. We would pray as a trio as we were paddling. We tried to make it a point to pray every day leading up to the journey. So in our prayers, I'd be begging the Lord for calm waters, and Craig and Trent would just be thanking the Lord for the good weather that they knew he would already give us. So they were kind of encouraging me to have faith in that area. And as we were heading over there, it looked like that's what was going to happen, but the Lord had other plans. He decided that what would make the trip most meaningful for us was actually a storm. And that's kind of a good life analogy, too, because the current and the waves were pulling us in the wrong direction. They were pulling us away from the boat. And in order to stay close to the boat, which was taking us home, we had to work really, really hard to paddle towards the boat. If we took one stroke in the wrong direction, our board would turn off course and go in with the current. And if we just stopped paddling and didn't do anything, we would drift back behind the boat and be going in the wrong direction. So we had to work pretty hard to stay focused on one spot on the back of the boat and not take our eyes off that spot till we were home.
And the analogy to life
yeah.
is?
Well, in our culture, in the society that we're growing up in today, for all of us young women, we're being pulled in a direction that is completely counter to everything Christian, everything that the Lord wants us to do. And in order to stay on track and be following the Lord where he wants us to go, we have to work really, really hard to keep our eyes on him. On the back of the boat was the word Wolfgang. That was the name of the boat. And the boys had found their focal point on the F in Wolfgang. They did not take their eyes off the F. And as soon as you did, you started to go in with the current.
If you just drift, you're going to go the wrong direction.
Right. If you drift, if you stop paddling, if you aren't moving forward in the right direction, if you take one stroke in the wrong direction, you automatically just go off course.
And so the waves picked up. How long had you been out there before you realized this was not the sea of glass you'd had coming over?
I'd say maybe just a few hours in, the waves started getting pretty bad.
And when we say pretty bad, tell us, like, what was the worst of the waves?
They were 3 to 5 feet consistently the whole time, and sometimes much higher than that. So Craig's about 6'1", and he said at one point he was in a trough and couldn't see over the top of one of the waves, just two waves on either side of him. So there was a lot of falling off the board, a lot of getting soaked, losing track of the boat. So we had to stay focused and keep paddling as hard as we could.
So it was a lot harder than what you expected.
It was a lot harder afterwards. None of us had said this during the trip. We were trying to keep a good attitude, but we all agreed there was just this unspoken. We did not want to get back on the board when it was our turn. But we knew in order to get the person who was on the board off and give them a rest, we had to go back in the water, exhausted and sore, and keep pushing and give it all we had. But I think we were all kind of wishing we could just throw the board in the boat and head home. We didn't want to go any farther. But we also sort of knew that we had to and we could. And that's when we started to feel everyone's prayers. We started to just pray and sing while we were out on the water. My verse was Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I just kept repeating that, all things.
You've got that verse down, huh?
Including paddleboarding across Lake Michigan. There are no conditions in that verse, so I believe we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Now, I hear that you got seasick on the boat.
I did.
And couldn't eat. Karen, your job was to keep them fed, so what do we do for poor Jenny?
Well, I remember at one point, just kind of kidding around, Uncle Rob was throwing her carrots off the back of the boat.
While she was on the paddleboard.
While she was on the paddleboard. And they just, you know, just to try to keep things light because it was so intense at times. And this was before dark, that he was just trying to, you know, make her laugh a little bit. Well, you know, unbeknownst to us, she's pretty good catch even in the waves. So we realized that she was going to have to eat on the paddleboard and at dinner time.
Because you weren't seasick when you were out
right,
on the
for
water.
Whatever reason, as soon as I got in the water, I was perfectly fine.
So I said to her, I knew her strength was kind of waning, and at dinner time she just could not eat. I had some grilled chicken on board, and I really wanted her to get that protein in her, and she just said, Mom, I can't. I said, well, you have to take it out on the board with her. She goes, well, how am I going to do that? So Uncle Rob said, the same way she ate the carrots, we'll just throw it to her, bite by bite.
Trying to imagine this well.
So it was humorous, but she ate.
And then you went through the night. This was a 24-hour trip, and I remember texting you, Karen, and saying, are they going to do this through the night? I couldn't imagine this happening. Tell us what it was like during the hardest of the night hours.
I started to get worried when I realized I have never pulled an all-nighter in my whole life. It's
for any reason.
It's pretty common in college, among college students, to pull all-nighters for studying, and I've never been able to do that. I just fall asleep by 2 a.m. I just need my sleep. And that was definitely the hardest thing I've ever done, was trying to stay awake on the board while paddling hard against the waves to keep up with the boat. We were practically paddling zombies. We were all sleep paddling, I think.
And did I hear right, it was raining out there at one point?
It was raining. Usually as soon as I got on the board, it would start raining and then stop when the boys got on.
So you got those middle of the night hours, and Karen, I assume you stayed awake through virtually all of this.
I did. It was, at one point I did go down below and just try to lay down flat while Jenny was resting, but I even felt guilty because I felt like I needed to be a team player even when the boys were out there. And just being there, watching them, supporting them, I just wanted to be awake and be there.
And tell me a little bit about your prayer life during those hours.
Yeah, intense. I was literally on my knees when Jenny would go out. I wanted to be as close as I possibly could. So I knelt down, put my knees on Trent's life jacket that he had just dropped at the back of the boat just because the water was rough. So I knelt on the squishy life jacket, hung over the back door of the fiberglass boat with my raincoat on. And as the rain was coming sideways on me, you know, I was miserable, but I'm looking at my daughter and I'm thinking, I'm on the boat. She's mm-hmm. out there working hard. And it was intense. I just, looking at her face, as I had mentioned earlier, it was very difficult to see your daughter go through something so physically and emotionally, mentally hard as it was. I remember just praying, you know, Lord, please, you know, why does this have to be so hard? Please calm these waves just for a time. Give them a break. They are so tired. And it was as if the Lord, I heard him say, not audibly, but I could sense in my soul that he was saying to me, my strength is sufficient for them. And I felt in my heart at that moment, the waves are not going to diminish. This is a lesson for them and for me. And he, God, is going to show himself strong to these kids.
And was that your perspective, Jenny, as to what the Lord did?
Yeah, absolutely. We can honestly say that it was literally impossible without the Lord's strength. And as we were getting closer, the days before the journey, it started to really hit me that I'm in no shape to paddle one-third of the way across Lake Michigan. So I think that's when faith started to really kick in that if this is going to happen, we're going to be able to say at the end of it that we did it on the Lord's strength, because there's no way that any of us could do this on our own.
And any reflections on your part as to why God might have had those waves not subside as your mom had prayed?
Yeah. Mom was actually journaling. She came up with a few really good thoughts that I added to. She wrote down, if this was an easy trip, you might not have desperately needed him. If this was an easy trip, we might not have recognized the miraculous provision of his strength, which is so true. If this was an easy trip, we might not have been made stronger through it, or the sweetness of his presence may have been missed, or we might not have said, while we were out there paddling, well, the kids in Uganda don't have it easy. So whoever said that our trip would be easy either. And if this was an easy trip, I don't think at the end that we would have so willingly admitted that we did it all on the Lord's strength. If it was easy for us and we could have done it and it was smooth waters, we would have felt like it was a great accomplishment on our part,
right,
but it wasn't really that hard. But with all the wind and the waves and the rain, there's no way that we did that on our own in the middle of the night, paddling hard against the waves. That's impossible on our own strength.
And what a powerful life lesson that is for somebody who is pulling hard against the current right now in their life circumstance. It may not be paddleboarding across Lake Michigan, but maybe they're dealing with, a prodigal child or grandchild, or a marriage that's on the rocks, or pressures and temptations in the workplace, or the challenges of singleness and God not bringing a mate. Life
that's
is hard.
That's
and
true.
We want it to be easier. We want mm-hmm. the waves to go away.
Right.
I keep quoting what a pastor friend said on the broadcast not too long ago. He and his wife had lost a child, and I just can't forget this. He said, hard is hard, but hard is not bad. Mm-hmm. Because, as I often tell women, anything that makes us need God is really a blessing.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means that the journey has to be hard, or that it is hard. And out of that comes we get stripped of self-reliance and have to cast ourselves upon the Lord. So you've really just illustrated and explained that so beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Right. And some of the sweetest moments for me was when it would be my turn to get back in the water, and I knew that I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep paddling. I thought I was going to fall asleep and fall off the board. And then 30 minutes would go by, and I realized that the Lord had continued to give me his strength. He was faithful, and he was blessing our efforts. And we really, it was one stroke at a time, because as we were going, one stroke got us a little ways. We didn't feel like we were getting very far, but soon we could look back and see how far we'd come
yeah.
by taking one stroke after another in the right direction.
You and I actually were texting about 5 minutes before you got onto one of your last shifts early Monday morning. And you said, you know, we're falling off. We're getting really exhausted. And that's when, boy, just scripture started coming to my heart. And I was, you know, here safe in my bed in Southwest Michigan, just carrying you guys on my heart, following that tracker and cheering for you. Boy, when it got really hard, and throughout that trip, did you think about those kids in Africa a lot? Did that cross your mind?
We did. We absolutely did. That is, I think, one of the things that really kept us going. Because, like I said, we would say to each other, no one said that this would be easy. And I heard it quite a few times said on the boat by Uncle Rob or one of the guys or my mom, the kids in Uganda don't have it easy. This is not going to be easy. It's not an easy trip. You're doing a good thing, but it's hard.
Jenny, tell us for a minute, based on what you understand of this work in Uganda, what kind of ministry is going to happen with these kids? What's being done to help them? Because I think some of our listeners would like to be praying for those kids and be a part of this journey with you.
Right. Well, Bob Goff, who's the founder of Restore International, he's actually the consul of Uganda, and he's in the legal system over there. He's a lawyer. So he helps to get cases for these kids to get them out of child slavery and to actually prosecute their traffickers and put them behind bars as well. And he started a school over there, too, to get them an education and help with their future.
So at this point of your life, you're a college student. You weren't able to go over there and do something hands-on to help with that situation. But you could raise awareness and raise funds that can end up helping those kids by doing this amazing adventure.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest things is that we were able to use what we had, which is so completely different from anything over in Uganda, anything that they'd have. They probably don't know what a paddleboard is.
But most of our listeners don't know what a paddleboard
is.
Yeah. We're learning from your trip.
Yeah, so it's just something that we already enjoy doing, and it's something that we have, that we've been given, and now we have an opportunity to use that to bless others, which is kind of amazing.
And what I love, too, is that you're looking, you and these guys you did this with, looking for opportunities to invest your lives, not just spend them. And Karen, this is something you and Scott have really wanted for your five young adult kids. Mm-hmm. Just talk for a minute about how you've tried to cultivate in them a heart for the world, for spreading the gospel with their lives. That's something you have really wanted for them.
We have. And I really, you know, I have to give Scott a lot of credit for he's just an intentional planner. He's you know, how people have different personalities. He is a planner, and that carried over into the intentionality of planning in raising our children. And so, you know, one of our desires for our children is for them to be mission-minded. Some of that comes from certainly just my background with my parents and his as well. His grandfather started a mission. And I was raised in a home that was mission-minded, and we just saw the benefit personally, and we really wanted that for our children. As far as what we did, I would say, you know, we intentionally tried to put before them opportunities. We took them on a lot of mission trips. Oftentimes, we made our family vacation turn that into a mission trip. And the kids caught that.
Yeah.
It's nothing really that you can teach, per se. They have to catch it. They have to see it firsthand. We liked to invite people to our home that are the heroes of the faith and let our children hear their stories and create conversation around the table and let our children hear God's stories, as you know, as you've been in our home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the purposeful intentionality of the vision and the mission that you would have for your children and raise them with that end goal in mind.
Well, I've loved watching you and Scott do that. And Jenny, I've loved watching you and your siblings grow up and catch that heart. You know, your parents can't do it for you. And you have really, you've got your own faith now. And I'm very excited to see what God is going to do with your life and how he's going to use you in the future. Now, we've posted on our website a video clip of when you and Craig and Trent made the landing at Muskegon, not in the boat. You got off the boat onto the paddleboard. Mm-hmm. The paddleboard is intended for one person, but tell us how that looked. And I think some of our listeners will want to go to the website and see that footage themselves. But tell us what it was like just coming on shore, how you did that, and what the greeting was like.
Right. When we got close enough to shore, we all three jumped on the board together, which is the first time all three of us had been on the board. And it was very difficult to stay on the board. We kept falling in the water. But we paddled to shore to see about 100 of our friends and families and even strangers who had come into town just to see us in. And we made it to shore with everyone cheering and giving us hugs and telling us how much they'd been praying for us. There was a news crew there. And I think 3 weeks ago, looking ahead to what we might have come back to, that was way more than I had ever could have expected or hoped for. And that just goes to show how the Lord is using this story in the hearts of other people and encouraging them with what we've done.
How do you think your life will be different long-term as a result of having had this experience?
I had prayed from the beginning that whatever came of this, the Lord would give me greater faith through it. Because I think I was really fearful at the beginning that we were going to go forward with this idea and kind of get people on board and start fundraising, and then it wasn't going to happen. And that was a lack of my own faith in the Lord's ability to do great things, because that's a crazy idea. No one's ever paddleboarded straight across Lake Michigan. But we had faith. We stepped forward and did what we could, and He blessed our efforts and actually increased our faith. So I think going forward, I'll always remember that it takes faith the size of a mustard seed to move mountains, or faith the size of a mustard seed to paddleboard across Lake Michigan.
And that's because we have a great, great, big God. And you have experienced that in a fresh way. And you've helped us see that in a fresh way, too, those of us who are watching and cheering and praying along the way. Karen Melby and daughter Jenny, thank you so much for sharing this with us. The guys are in the background in the studio here today listening. You've been doing a lot of interviews together, but we let them listen on this one. But they have been a big part of this story, too. And I'm really grateful to see in those guys' eyes the same heart and fervor that He's put in yours. So thanks to all of you. Thanks for helping raise awareness for this cause for these kids in Uganda. And the funds, we just pray the Lord will take those and multiply them, and that there will be lives that will be saved literally and spiritually as well for all eternity as a result of your willingness to step out onto the water and do this for the Lord's glory. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nancy. Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth recorded that interview with Jenny Melby just days after she finished paddleboarding across Lake Michigan. We heard from Jenny's mom, Karen, as well. These two women are an example of persevering through strenuous circumstances. That took place a few years ago. In more recent years, the Melby family crossed through much deeper waters when Scott Melby, Karen's husband and Jenny's dad, was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. Scott displayed patient endurance during that intense season of pain and suffering. He went home to be with his Savior just a few years later. You can hear more about Scott and Karen's journey in a series we aired called Cancer and Contentment. We'll provide a link to that series on today's transcript. We're able to bring you conversations like these and teaching based on God's Word, thanks to listeners who believe in this ministry and keep it going. Karen Melby believes in Revive Our Hearts and gives financially so you can hear it each weekday. How might the Lord want you to give so others can hear Revive Our Hearts? When you donate any amount this month, we'll say thanks by sending you a new book by the late Elizabeth Elliot. It's called Suffering is Never for Nothing. This book is filled with biblical encouragement birthed out of Elizabeth's journey with suffering and perseverance. Request your copy when you make a gift of any amount online at reviveourhearts.com or ask for Suffering is Never for Nothing,
when you call us with your gift at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Tomorrow, we're going to hear from this author. Imagine your husband of 2 years is murdered, and you feel all alone in a foreign country. Elizabeth Elliot knows what that's like. As she tells the story, you'll get valuable insight on how to handle suffering in your life. Hear about it tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth wants you to know God's strength is sufficient for you. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.